Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the RotoGrinders FanDuel Roundtable Cash Game Build here for this week four. I, of course, am your host, Dan Bach, Mr. DB730, and happy to kind of lead the way here today as we try to knock out a cash game lineup on FanDuel where things get a little bit trickier, I think, this week than maybe we had last week. And joining me today, first up, the man we call the DFS Almanac, Mr. Dean Shavelson, cash game extraordinaire. How did the cash games treat you last week, Dino?
You know, I saw somebody on Twitter said that, I don't want to name names, they basically said something to the effect of, hey, if you guys won money this week, you're probably not that good at DFS. And maybe I'm not that good at DFS, I don't know. I had a good week, and I'm 3-0 this year in NFL. It's been, and every week it's been better and better and better. So hopefully we're not jinxing nothing, but yeah, my NFL week was really strong last week, and the season's been going well, so I'm looking forward to week four.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't know. I kind of felt insulted by that, too, because I had a pretty good week. I know we did, I think, pretty well on our lineup. Obviously, we didn't have the Seahawks news when we did this show last week, but that was a pretty obvious pivot to make in cash games. But Jarvis Landry, Marvin Jones, all Allen Robinson, two touchdown, all guys that we had a lot of exposure to. Also joining us is the man that we call Killer B, Brett Hartfield. Brett, I know week two was a little rough for you this past week. Do a little bit better?
Yeah, this is really kind of a redemption week all around. I think not only for a lot of the players that we were on with like the Allen Robinsons, the Jordy Nelsons. Yeah, it went really well for me. I ended up having over 100% ROI. So anytime you can get over that line, it's a good week.
All right. Well, we're going to try and do it for you again here this week on the FanDuel Cash Game Build. Again, we're going to do our best to kind of put together a lineup that we would be willing to play. Obviously, things can change as news breaks throughout the week. So let's get into the screen share and take a look at the player pool for FanDuel here as we move on to this week four. And Dean, I kind of talked about it in the opening that I felt like last week kind of came to a little bit easier. We had a lot of injuries take place earlier in the week or from the previous week, which opened up a lot of value. Not quite as much value, I think, maybe off the bat, certainly on FanDuel. DraftKings, I think, is a very different animal building cash this week, cash games over there to FanDuel. So let's get started with it. And let's get rolling here with our quarterback position. It's kind of usually where we start. Give me your first initial thoughts on quarterback position for our cash games.
Yeah, I mean, the guys at the top really, really pop off the page, obviously. Cam Newton in Atlanta. Cam's just such a difference maker at quarterback. And we talk about how congested, you know, the quarterbacks 1 to 15 can be. It's really hard to separate yourself. Like a receiver can put up 220 yards and two touchdowns, and that just crushes so many other guys. A quarterback, the distance from 1 to 15 is not going to be detrimental necessarily. But if Newton runs in two touchdowns, which he can do, and other quarterbacks pretty much can't, I always try to reach for Newton if I can in cash. Then, of course, you got the shootout there in San Diego, Breeze with all the revenge against Rivers. And, you know, we see how terrible that defense is in New Orleans on a short week and traveling. Where I'm at right now, my shell lineup, what I was kind of tinkering is that I'm going to do my best to pay up for Cam. I'm perfectly fine stepping down to a guy like Rivers. I think Rivers is going to go nuts. I think that's going to be a shootout. And if we want to save salary, I don't know if it's a crazy idea. Just if you need to save salary, you talked about, you know, salary being a little bit tighter this week. Stepping down to a guy like Brian Hoyer, is that totally nuts at 6K?
I think that it's not totally nuts to consider him, but maybe there's better options out there. But you're right, going against Detroit, that makes a lot of sense. But I ask you, Brett, you know, how about the other quarterback in that game for Detroit at Matthew Stafford at 8,300? We look at what he's accomplished so far this season, 27 FanDuel points, 16 and 26. So he's more than made value in two of three, and 16 and a half won't kill you. He gets a date with the Bears, and you look at his salary, about 1,000 cheaper than Cam Newton, who last week didn't really perform up to the standards I think most people had for him. What do you think of Stafford here? Because he kind of jumps out a little bit as a value play.
Yeah, I guess I haven't been going up to that Stafford area. If I do go up, I'm going to jump all the way up to Cam Newton. But I think the way I like to break down my cash lineups is just, you know, I go through every position, look at, like, the best value guys. I love a lot of the value throughout quarterback, running back, and wide receiver this week. I'm having troubles paying up, and I hate paying up at quarterback, but I feel like Cam Newton is the one guy that has the highest ceiling here. I mean, he legitimately has a 40-point ceiling, so I don't mind paying up there, but where I've been settling is right at Kirk Cousins. I feel like Washington right now has a one-dimensional offense, and just really like the situation of him coming home. We've seen just last year he's had 22 more passing yards at home versus away, and then 16 touchdowns versus 2 interceptions at home. Whereas on the road, he was at 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. So you're getting just a way better quarterback at home. Also, he's added 4 rushing touchdowns at home. So he still gives you that upside with the rushing ability. I just feel like this is his bounce back spot being at home. So I like that. And like Dean said, going all the way down to Brian Hoyer at 6,000 is something that I've been doing. I'm not in love with any of these choices this week. So potentially I will have a little mixture of both in cash games.
Yeah, I definitely think this is a week where we can split our cash games. And what we mean by that is play multiples, but use our same core. And you can get away with it way more, I think, in NFL than you can in other games. I don't hate the call at all for Kirk Cousins here at home against Cleveland. And you're right. If there's a spot for Cousins to get right, this is it. It was not terrible last week. But we also have Dak Prescott at 7,200. Last week had another nice game for him that really marks 2 in a row, 23 fantasy points, went for 2 touchdowns, including his first passing touchdown. Now, I know we get leery of sometimes going on the road with quarterbacks, Dean, but this is San Francisco. This is a team that has allowed other quarterbacks to do big things. We saw Russell Wilson look pretty good before he got hurt last week. Obviously, Cam Newton the week before that. Do you hate Dak Prescott this week? Because I'm between him and Cousins right now as my pay down guy.
Yeah, I don't hate either. Like I said, I'm doing my best to pay up for Cam. I think Hoyer is certainly in the conversation. And right there in the middle, if you're going to ask me, pick guys in the middle, that's probably where I would land. Dak's looked really good. I mean, the only issue there is that they just run the ball a ton. Of course, he can run it as well, which is a nice little perk. And you should get a few extra plays there against San Francisco. Just San Francisco in theory. And the price is fair. Now, I know he's really, really cheap on DK. So if you want to talk about, you know, if you like Dak and you're playing multiple sites, I haven't done a ton of research for DK because we're not doing a DK show, but I'm fairly certain he's like 5'7 over there, something really, really cheap. So maybe like get your coverage up to Dak on DK and like pick a guy like Kirk Cousins on FanDuel if you want. I think Cousins will be fine. It's just that it's what do you do with an extra 2K or something you're not spending on Cam? You're going to make it worth it, basically. And it's all a question of where we go from here. But I'm perfectly fine starting anywhere you guys are talking about.
Well, let's roll with Kirk Cousins because I think that when you look at the difference between him and Dak salary-wise, it's just 200. And I'll take the veteran quarterback at home versus the rookie on the road. And especially it's not like Washington can run the ball whatsoever. You know, it's going to be him who does it. Last year, he threw a pile of touchdown passes. And Cleveland just might be sneaky enough to be able to keep this game close where I think Dean mentioned the one kind of drawback for Dak and cash, at least on FanDuel, where he's a bit more expensive, is that chance that Ezekiel Elliott, it's his game. I mean, he had 30 carries last week. And if Dak doesn't run that one into the end zone, it's a good day. It's not a great day for him. So it's hard to rely on those things. So let's go ahead and roll Kirk Cousins as our quarterback and move on to at least one of our running back spots. This is the week we get Le'Veon Bell back. Brett, 8,300 is a pretty fair price. You know, we've seen Le'Veon Bell on FanDuel, you know, in his prime when he's scoring 3 touchdowns a game, be over a 9K running back. I feel like it's good value. But the matchup versus Kansas City isn't great. It's not bad. It isn't great. It is at home. They've said they're going to feed him the football. What do you think of Le'Veon Bell this week? I think most times he's going to be a cash game play at that price. Is he for you this week?
Yeah, I mean, so we can kind of compare what Pittsburgh did last year. You know, after Le'Veon Bell came off his suspension last year, he ended up playing 95% of the snaps, so he was the guy, and he ended up with 26 touches. So if you're questioning his workload, I think you can just look into what happened last year. I really like the situation. I think Pittsburgh is going to feed him the ball. And, you know, this is a situation where I don't know how many people are going to be on him just because of what Kansas City did last week to the Jets with the 6 interceptions. But one thing that I want to kind of break down too in cash games is just my 50-50 strategy could be different than my heads-up strategy. So last week, something that I did that, you know, in itself didn't work out was pairing Philip Rivers and Melvin Gordon. You know, I expected 3 touchdowns with that duel last week, which I only ended up getting 1. It still worked out fine because I had just a really strong lineup with my running backs and wide receivers. But that's something that I'm also thinking about doing this week. At home versus the Saints, I think I'm going to go back to the well in 50-50s. You know, it can hurt your ceiling, but I feel like the floor here is 3.5 touchdowns again with those two. And Melvin Gordon is my favorite running back of the week.
Yeah, I was going to pencil him in, Dean, for cash games here again. We've seen New Orleans just be a sieve against the run last week. You didn't have one, but you had 2 running backs from the same team be the top 2 running backs of the week in Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. This week, it's the Melvin Gordon show. He was pretty much took all the snaps a week ago, had a good game, not a super game, but a good enough game. And the only risk you run, I think, with Gordon is potentially the game script falling out of his favor. But we've seen New Orleans not be as prolific scoring on the road. And if anything, San Diego could be putting up a bunch of points early, and Gordon gets a ton of carries in this one. I think he's the preeminent cash game play again this week. What about you?
Yeah, it's hard to argue against Gordon. I didn't watch the game last week. I was on the road. I was traveling back from Jacksonville listening to the radio, and apparently it seemed like he was missed for like 3 or 4 passes as well out of the backfield. So they're targeting him, and like there were some plays that were left in the field, and he was still perfectly fine. And, you know, like you said, the matchup against New Orleans, it's gold. Like, you know, it's been said before that it's, you know, facing New Orleans, it's, you know, it's Coors Field basically. And he should be an absolute monster, and I completely agree with Bell. Like, the way I'm looking at it right now, just kind of my initial thought is there's 3 running backs and there's only 2 spots, and how do you sort of make them work? And it's Bell, it's Gordon, and you have to look at Jordan Howard. Like, he's just so cheap, and the issue there as far as the injuries, Langford's got an ankle, Kadeem Carey's got a hammy, they signed Joique Bell off the street, but, you know, he stinks, and he's just super cheap. And kind of like the way I'm working it is if I throw Howard in there, then probably it gets me Cam Newton. That's kind of how like my 2B2, my 3B3 works. And that's kind of where I'm at with my initial read at running back. I'm shuffling in 2 of those 3 guys, Gordon, Bell, and Howard.
Yeah, I think Howard's going to be a popular guy, especially the correlation between Cam is going to be there a lot for tournaments and probably cash games as well. Do you have any thoughts on him, Brett?
On who?
On Jordan Howard for the Bears against Detroit.
Yeah, he's stepping in a situation where, I mean, he's going to get touches. It's just I'm not comfortable. You know, just with lineup construction, I've been paying up at running back. I'm not comfortable with a lot of the expensive wide receivers this week. So I'm more looking to pay up at the running back and potentially quarterback spot, even tight end spot, more than the like I'm finding a lot of value wide receivers that I like. And at running back, I feel like I want to pay for my touchdown equity, for all my touches in good situations, in situations where the teams should be putting up a lot of points.
I've got Carlos Hyde, you know, highlighted right now too. And he's a guy who's gotten a ton of workload and a guy who's scored 4 touchdowns so far. If they get down to the goal line, he's clearly going to be the one who gets the looks. And Dean, this Dallas defensive front isn't that good. Yeah. I think they're really overrated. And another guy who on DraftKings is probably a plug and play at like 4,200. I don't know what they were smoking when they made that salary pool over there. But Carlos Hyde at 6,800, probably still a little bit cheap. I think he's probably like a $7,200 to $7,500 back, and we're getting him for 6,800.
Yeah, you know, I see Britt lurking in the chat, and got to give him credit. He's the one that kind of pointed out how Dallas has not been really good against the run this year, and how their D-line, the guys just don't rank very strong as far as the PFF rankings. The issue with Hyde is that he's been a garbage time hero, and can we trust that once again? And we don't know how the score is going to fall out, of course. And the price is very fair, like you said, 6'8" on FanDuel. And what is he on DK? I think he's like 4'2".
Yeah, he's really cheap, 42.
Yeah, which seems really, really silly. And again, this seems like another spot where if you want Hyde, you can get your Hyde coverage over there on DK and kind of fall back a little bit on FanDuel. You've got three spots to play running backs over there, just two on FanDuel, so it's just a little bit trickier to work him in. But I get the merit. I hear your argument. But he's probably not going to make my cash teams.
All right, yeah. Let's put Le'Veon Bell in. I think, you know, I feel pretty good about these three. Cousins, Gordon, Bell. We're at a little over 6,000 a spot. You know how I do it, boys, when it comes down to the kicker. I find my $4,700 guy, and then we kind of reevaluate it when we get a little bit closer. Who is that guy for us? Who's our $4,700 guy? What do you got, Fred?
I think you don't have to go any further than 4,500 here. Hopkins and Lambeau are two guys that will be kicking at home in high-scoring games. I love Hopkins here. He's actually been the number one fantasy kicker, and he's still stone minimum. He kicks at home versus a team in Cleveland that's given up the third most points to kickers on the year. So I don't see – And we've seen how inefficient Washington has been in the red zone. I don't mind pairing up my quarterback with my kicker even, if that's what I'm doing.
I get it. I also think that variance is going to strike the other side of that fairly soon. I don't really like chasing kicker points that much. And if anything, what about Chandler Cannizzaro at 4,600? This guy was a top-tier kicker a year ago. And just hasn't really had the opportunities. You look at the last game he had at home, had 11 fantasy points, gets the Rams here today, Dean. You know me, like, I'm not afraid to go to a $4,500 guy, but in the sake of our lineup build, I got to give myself at least 100 to tinker a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure. Throw him in. I'm just thinking of I just hope Levitan's not watching. There might be some copyright infringement. Levitan has the lockdown on saying stone blank. And if he's watching, he's very upset. Rich use of,
did I throw it out there?
Yeah. Oh, you said still a minimum. Yeah. That's Levitan's thing. He's very protective of it.
Nice. All right. So we got 6,300 left. And I want to go to defense real quick before we get on to the wide receiver and tight end spots. For me, I think Arizona is the play this week against LA. And I actually really like going defense kicker together in my lineups. I think it's kind of a sharp correlation play. They seem to be the most steam price-wise. They're high but not insane at 5,300. And we've seen LA, you know, they finally kind of realized Melvin Gordon. They got to get him the ball. But I think Arizona will be able to shut them down. Dean, any other thoughts on team defense here? Other teams that stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arizona's the top play. But the issue, of course, is the salary and making them work. And last week we had the Dolphins, and the Dolphins just made a ton of sense, you know, in theory. And it just didn't really work out for us necessarily. They didn't kill us, but they weren't great, obviously. But I'd like to try to find a spot to save money, but I just don't know where it's at. It's important to note that, you know, we have a bye week. We have two teams are out. We have a game on Thursday.
Yep.
And we have that game in Sunday morning in England, which, by the way, does anyone think Jacksonville's like the only team in the NFL? Because they're there every single year, right?
Yeah, they are, it seems like.
Is there like a big contingency of Jacksonville fans in London? I wonder how that works.
Well, that's the goal. That's why Shad Khan signed that deal, so he can get all the UK fans to be Jaguar fans. But, yeah, that's not on this main slate, by the way, if you're looking for that. We're only doing the main slate on FanDuel.
So it's a more condensed player pool. It's only 12 games we're talking about. I mean, I looked at Washington as a cheap defense, but I mean, of course, if you have a salary, by all means, pay up for Arizona. I mean,
okay, let's just throw Arizona in for now because I think we're in agreement. They're probably the top play if we can make it work.
I mean, I will say this defensively, I was all over Houston coming into this week at home versus a Tennessee team that's been turning the ball over. The only issue now is that you see J.J. Watt's been put on the IR, most likely being done with the year for J.J. Watt. So, but I love where Houston is. And, you know, potentially we'll have also exposure to Washington, Arizona, but I think I'm still going to be leaning towards Houston. But if we need to save a few hundred, we can go that route too.
Yeah, I'm not against Houston. I mean, and, you know, there's maybe a belief that suddenly there's going to be a big drop-off because J.J. Watt's not there, but he hasn't even been playing good this year. You look at how his play this year compared to the previous, and he's playing at this lowest level of his career. So he's probably hurt before then. So I don't know how much that changes. Obviously, maybe a little bit more, you know, double teams up front going towards his side can have an effect, but I don't think it's the worst pivot to go to. All right, let's get to our pass catchers here, guys. 6,600. Dean, where's the chalk lie for you in pass catchers this week?
Well, it's got to be Marvin Jones, right? Is that the first one you lock in there?
Is it?
I don't know. I mean, he's facing Chicago. Chicago, bad defense as is. They another injury in that Chicago defense. Kyle Fuller, DB, he's out with a knee. So that spot becomes even better. And, like, he's one of the top receivers in all of football. And what is he, 7? They raised his price, sure. But 7-6 still feels like a discount for me.
Yeah. Brett, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I you got to love Marvin Jones. His average depth of target's been consistently just so much better than any other wide receiver on Detroit. Also, there is Kyle Fuller is out of the defensive backfield this week. So they're going to be even thinner. And we already know how thin the Bears are up front. So I feel like he should still get his. A guy that I haven't been hearing too much on, but that I've been penciling in right away, is Jeremy Maclin. I just feel like this is a really good situation for him. He should get fed the ball. I feel like Maclin always has his games when Kansas City is coming from behind. Pittsburgh, to me, still is a funnel defense. I know Pittsburgh's been giving up touchdowns via the run lately, so it kind of might skew, like, if you're looking at DVPs. But if you're still looking at, like, the DVOA, their defense still kind of funnels the ball through the air. So I've been liking him a lot. Actually, in this whole area, I've been picking out my wide receivers. So Travis Benjamin and Emmanuel Sanders are two other guys that I've been looking at also.
Yeah, okay. I'm not against the Marvin Jones play. Okay, I get it. The matchup's all there. But I do think that this is a week that Marvin Jones does not go crazy, believe it or not. And I've been on Marvin Jones every week this season. Call me nuts, but maybe this is the Golden Tate week on the value side of things. Now, I don't think
he doesn't need to go crazy. I'm not banking on 220 yards and two touchdowns.
Well, I mean, you like him better than Amari Cooper against Baltimore. You like him better than Dez Bryant against San Francisco. I mean, those are all
better than Dez Bryant.
Well, we'll see. Calvin Benjamin against Atlanta, 7,700.
Yes.
We'll see. I'm just going to call it a down week by Marvin Jones. But the cash game, again, we're trying to be safe. And you can call it a hunch. You can call it what you will. But I just think that this isn't going to be the Marvin Jones week that everybody thinks it is. It feels like a trap to me. I'm not sure if it's the Admiral Akbar trap of the game. I get the sentiment.
What's trappy about it? Besides, like, you know, and you say everybody's on it. Like, I haven't read anybody's stuff yet. Has anybody put anything out yet?
Oh, he's gonna be tout chalk. I don't know if he'll be public chalk because he's still Marvin Jones, and those other names I talked about are way bigger and have, you know, played pretty well this year. Benjamin, obviously, the dog game last week. But I still think that there's going to be a number of newer players who don't want to make that reach. And it's not out of name that I don't want to reach, that I don't want to go there, but I'm just – call it a feeling. You talked about Maclin. What about, you know, the game that I really want some exposure to here, guys, is maybe Houston against this Tennessee secondary. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is obviously a really expensive option at 8,600. And last year, Nuke was a beast. Wasn't a beast last game against New England, but no shame in that. I mean, they take away their opponent's best player, and that is no question DeAndre Hopkins. So that was a tough spot for them to go into in a short week. But 13 and 20 fantasy points the 2 weeks after that. I mean, if you ask me, I think you either got to go with Nuke Hopkins or Will Fuller. I think both these guys could have really nice games, but that Tennessee secondary is really, really bad. And I want to, you know, pick on it here a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah. Are we comfortable with Will Fuller in cash games yet? I mean, he has been getting enough targets where I think you can be. I mean, 11 in the first week, 7 second week, 7 in the third week. It's just these targets with his average depth of target being so deep. He's not going to be catching a lot of these balls. And I know that used to be DeAndre Hopkins in years past. It was just they would force feed him so much. But, you know, his catch rate usually was always right around that 50% line. I don't know if I'm comfortable with Will Fuller yet to put him in cash games. But I think if you're looking at that game, I'm way more comfortable studying up and locking in DeAndre Hopkins here. He would be my top wide receiver, probably even more than Antonio Brown. It is tough because Ben Roethlisberger plays so well at home, and we just saw how much they funneled all the passes last week to Antonio Brown. But I feel like Hopkins is my guy if I'm spending up this week.
What do you think, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a salary concern. I don't know if I trust Fuller and Cash just yet. I wouldn't. I mean, it's certainly something I would definitely consider. Hopkins about the salary, but my thought process is if I'm going for Hopkins, I'm going to do my best to get Brown in there. And I think I heard Leone say this, Leone from Daily Roto, basically talk about how he's trying to get one of the guys, at least this was last week, I don't know, obviously he'll change this week, one of the guys from Pittsburgh, if not Bell, Brown, get one of those two in there. And my show lineup didn't have Bell in it, so I had Antonio Brown, just because, you know, Antonio Brown's just money in the bank, right? That team was terrible last week, and he still put up, like, what, 14 and 140 or something silly like that. Didn't get in the box, but and it's only 1,000 more. 1,000 more from Hopkins to Brown. Of course, Hopkins can outscore him, but I feel like if I'm spending that much for my cash games, I'm going to do my best to spend a little bit more to get Brown in there.
But we got Le'Veon Bell already, so we're still adhering to your rules.
I know, which is kind of throwing me off because it's completely – this lineup is completely different than what I had, which is fine, which is probably fine.
Well, we can always do another lineup after this, you know. We can go with, like, a cheap quarterback. So let's stick with the Le'Veon Bell here and finish this one up.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll do two lineups here today. That's fine.
You asked about Fuller at 6'7". I think the one guy we're not talking about yet, which is a really interesting conversation, is Pryor at 7. Like, what do we do with him?
Right. I mean, I watched that game back, and if you just saw where they lined him up, it's just one of those things where you have to project, okay, are they going to keep doing this? Are they going to even extend it further this upcoming week against the Washington team? And again, they're going to be on the road. He had his hand in every part of that offense. So I know he's a lot more expensive on FanDuel versus DraftKings, but I'm more than okay with it, especially when they got towards the goal line. He was playing quarterback, and you knew he was just going to get the snap and run it in, and sure enough, that was his touchdown. So, and then just how many targets he got. What did he end up with last week? Was it 14 or 15 targets?
Yeah, I think it was 14 targets last week. Let's bring it up here. Yeah, 14 targets, 8 receptions. The FanDuel game log doesn't show what he did in the running game and the in the passing game. But my argument against him is that last week it came as a surprise because he wasn't doing that. This week, you have to imagine Washington is going to be ready for Terrell Pryor to be lining up under center and all over the place and realize he's legitimately the only weapon they have right now. So I get the argument. I think I think this is a perfect hedge spot this week, guys, where he's really underpriced over there on DraftKings. But, you know, do we like him more than a Jeremy Maclin this week at 6,900? I don't know. Emmanuel Sanders against Tampa Bay, a team that could easily give up a lot of points. We saw Trevor Siemian have a good game at 6,900. Eric Decker's as consistent as it comes. Tough matchup for him versus Seattle. But I just don't think I can put him into that category yet. You can get away with it on DraftKings, but on FanDuel Cash, I just think that Washington comes in a little bit more prepared.
Well, what if we get the report that he's going to be the quarterback for 20 snaps or so? Again, this is why it's hard to make cash games on Wednesday because we don't have full information. But it's like if we get the clarity that apparently
They're not going to say that. There's no chance. Why would you give up your game plan when it's that off the wall to the media? Like, I don't think for a single second, even if you hear it, whether you can believe it. It'd be stupid.
Right. Yeah,
but wasn't that reported before 1 o'clock on Sunday? I was on the road. I missed it.
They did say he would possibly take snaps at the quarterback spot.
There you go.
So, didn't know like how extensive that would be.
Yeah, possibly taking snaps and saying he's going to be in for 20 plays is a little bit different. So
we heard the same thing with Julian Edelman, and we saw how that went. Like Edelman didn't take one snap behind center.
Well, that's New England. You can't trust New England.
Right. All right, hey, I'd say we do this. Let's leave wide receiver 3 open, and let's fill in our tight end spot and just see how much money we have left over.
Okay, we can do that. And again, we're going to do two lineups here, so we'll be able to, get everything we want, hopefully, between the two. 5,200 is where we're at per player. So obviously we're probably looking at a value. There's a lot that I kind of like in that 6K territory for a wide receiver, more so than there is, you know, at that like $5,200 spot. So the guy who, you know, had a real big game last week, Zach Miller against Detroit, he's at 5K. Doesn't up it a ton and leave us a ton over there at wide receiver, but did what we see last week, is it legit or is it a fluke there, Brett?
Yeah, I would say I'm okay with rolling him out there. Detroit's been terrible. They gave up 4 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks to tight ends. And we don't really know who the number two is in this offense. I would like to see who's healthy at the wide receiver before I lock in Zach Miller. So possibly I won't be playing a Zach Miller on Thursday. You got to like what he showed us last week. Guy like Hunter Henry, he played every single snap and had 5 catches for 76 yards. He's bare minimum at 4,500. So I'm comfortable putting him in. I don't think Kyle Rudolph is on the slate. Is that correct? Minnesota? No. Yeah. So don't worry about him. And then Dennis Pitta, is he on the slate?
Yeah, versus Oakland.
Okay, yes. And then Dennis Pitta, he's still getting the targets. In fact, the last 2 weeks, he's led the team in targets. 20 targets the last 2 weeks. I like him. I'm comfortable with putting him in this offense. We have to go cheap at tight end. So, I would be leaning towards Pitta or Henry over Zach Miller. But, it's just because Zach Miller, I don't know, the situation with the wide receivers at Chicago.
Dean, I would say Henry over Pitta, looking at the price point where we're at, getting one at 4,500. That's a big boost to what we can spend at wide receiver. I mean, Pitta's all right, but Henry, you know, outside of that fumble, you know, that guy was really involved, and he was an awesome pass catcher out there at Arkansas too. Like, he was really, really good.
He's not a dad runner either. He's like a brother runner. He's legit. He actually has speed and he's athletic. He's got a good body. And he's been on salary. He's facing New Orleans. And like Brett said, he had every snap too. So, and we're assuming, of course, Gates is out. That's the assumption here. That's why
correct.
We're
yes.
If Gates is back, then Henry, you know, goes to the back of the line. But my tight end research kind of began and ended there. And of course, you can spend up. I think one of these weeks, I know Reed's going to have a big day. We like Cousins. Maybe that kind of covers Reed to some extent. Olsen should be perfectly fine this week as well, but that's kind of where I'm looking. I'll probably spend all the way down or spend all the way up, and right now I'm perfectly fine throwing Henry in there. Who was the other receiver you had, by the way? Because you said we have two locked in. For some reason, I don't have that guy. Who is it?
We've got Marvin and Hopkins locked in right now.
Okay.
And that leaves us with 5,900, which is not a great spot.
No, it isn't. No.
You know, there's some buzz around Kevin White. I don't see it right now.
The one guy below 5,900 that I really like, he's 5,300, that's Michael Thomas. We've seen his target share be there no matter who New Orleans has healthy. But last week, it seemed like they really targeted him, especially in the red zone. I feel really comfortable with how small the other wide receivers are, that Thomas is going to be somewhat of a thing when they get near the goal line. He had 11 targets, 7 catches. So if we want to go that route, or, I mean, we could chop a DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know what we want to do from here, but.
Yeah, we could try. I mean, so you guys want your Marvin in there, right? So that's what you're telling me?
I'm okay with Marvin. I definitely am on Dean's side of things here when it comes to Marvin Jones. I mean, I feel like when you're projecting what's going to happen versus a Bears defense, Bears can get beat on the ground or through the air. I'm comfortable with Marvin Jones' target share. This is a cash game. We want a high floor. Marvin Jones has that floor.
Okay, well, if we take out my boy Nuke, that leaves us at 7,250 left per spot. What's the alternative here, Dino?
Yeah, I'm just kind of scrolling through and seeing, if we threw, a Fuller in there. Of course, we have $100 to play with a kicker as well. If we threw a Fuller in there, we'd have 7,800, so we'd have 7,900 in theory.
I don't know if Fuller's cash game playable yet.
Probably not. I mean, he's had his
I mean, I'm not a Benjamin guy. In fact, I faded Rivers last week, and I'm even still a little nervous. I know San and New Orleans sucks, but I just don't think that Rivers has the weapons that, you know, people kind of thought last week going against Indianapolis, and he didn't get it done. I mean, Benjamin, though, is going to get volume at 6,600. You know, 7 more targets last week, 4 for 82. I mean, he had 2 fumbles, too. You know, take that out of the equation. That certainly stings a little bit.
You can make Brett happy here. If you throw in Macklin, then you have 7,600 or 7,700, depending on, and you could decide between Cooper and Benjamin.
Can do that. I'm okay with Macklin. You like Macklin, Dean?
He's fine. He's somebody I pretty much never play, but he's usually okay. I just don't play Macklin. I don't know. It's not that he's a bad play. It's just that I don't seek him out for whatever reason, but Brett made a fine case.
Yeah, and another thing too, Emmanuel Sanders, they play a Tampa Bay defense at home that has been one of the most funnel defenses that we've seen in the league, where they are very stout versus the run. I think we're going to see Simeon throw the ball a ton. And just based upon eye test, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders looks like the guy over Demaryius Thomas. Just his route running just seems a lot more crisp. Simeon seems to be looking his way a lot more than Demaryius. So I'm also very comfortable with his targets that he's receiving from week to week. He got in the end zone twice last week, so that's always a positive. But, you know, it's one of those things where I love Emmanuel Sanders in cash games. I don't know where I stand with him in what I think is going to be a low-scoring game, you know, in tournaments. But, yeah, I like his target share.
Okay, boys. Well, we got to make some final decisions here. And, you know, we don't have to use Hunter Henry, by the way, either. We can, especially if we took Hopkins out, and if we wanted to go to Pitta, that leaves us at 5,400 and 6,800 a piece for our final two spots, with an extra 100 to be flexible with the kicking position. So,
and by the way, like I've been building cash game lineups on FanDuel for over 24 hours. And this has been my conundrum, is that wide receiver. So I feel like, I don't know if I've had an issue. Like,
but if you have a conundrum, then shouldn't we just put Hopkins in and move on and say, hey, we don't have a conundrum anymore?
Yeah, but I mean, you wanna spend obviously your dollars as efficiently as possible. And if I'm having troubles at wide receiver, that means I feel like I should be spending lower, not higher.
The higher, you should get more of a guarantee on the Antonio Browns and the DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I mean, are you struggling with Hopkins not getting 20 fantasy points this week? Because I'm really not.
I mean, with Will Fuller taking a lot of the deep passes away, I'm not comfortable with Hopkins' share now, target share. It was like when Houston was a worse team, especially on offense, they funneled all the passing. Kind of very similar to what Pittsburgh's kind of doing with Antonio Brown. I'm way more comfortable in a fantasy, fantasy side of things, rostering a guy in that situation. But now with a Will Fuller, where a lot of the targets are starting to go his way, I'm not as comfortable rostering a Hopkins.
Are you guys comfortable at all with any of the San Diego receivers? Like, you know, somebody's going to do something, but do you feel confident playing a guy like Benjamin or Williams in cash?
I do. I do like Benjamin. I feel like his target share is going to be there week in and week out. Phil Rivers spreads the ball around so well that I don't think there's one specific guy that's ever going to be a 10 target a week guy. But yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with rolling out both Melvin Gordon and Travis Benjamin in cash games. And then
and Hunter.
What's that?
And Hunter.
And who?
Hunter Henry.
Oh, that's right. We do have Hunter Henry in this one. I definitely wouldn't want to do three. So if we go Travis Benjamin, then I really want to get off of Hunter Henry for sure.
All right, let's put some finishing touches here. I think we were actually pretty close to something. Okay, final, I guess, let's make this call. Macklin or Sanders? Dean?
Macklin. A very unenthusiastic Macklin.
Brett, Macklin or Sanders?
We'll go Macklin.
Okay. That leaves us at 76 or 7,700. Benjamin and Cooper fall into that category. I don't mind either of these two matchups. I think Baltimore is a bit of a fraud. It's tough here for Oakland, making that across-the-country trip, 1 o'clock start. We saw it with Arizona last week, just putting up a just total dog of a game against Buffalo. But I think Baltimore is a fraud. And I'm probably going to side with Benjamin here just because he's coming off that really bad game. So I'll say Benjamin over Cooper. What would you guys say?
I was going to say the exact opposite. Oakland being in Baltimore, you know they're going to have to throw the ball quite a bit. I am kind of worried with the one target, you know, that Kelvin Benjamin did receive last week. So I do think Kelvin Benjamin's a perfect GPP play. I question the one target. I mean, that's like one of those things. Like, you know, you almost want a guy to be game script proof or almost matchup proof when he goes into your cash game. And for a guy to only get one target, I mean, and a guy that we think is as talented as Kelvin Benjamin is, it makes you really question putting him in cash.
I mean, he had 21 the 2 weeks prior, 3 touchdowns, 100 and or 200 yards. So, you know, one bad week can happen. And you can also look at it as what's the likelihood he's only going to get one target this week?
I think, and those are some strong defenses that he started out the year with. I mean,
yeah, Minnesota is literally probably the worst matchup for him, especially when you consider the size of their corners there. So you're right, Minnesota and Denver, 2 out of the first 3 weeks. Dean, you're the tiebreaker, Cooper or Benjamin?
I'll take Cooper.
Okay, I'm trumped again here, boys.
Well, we need an extra $100 there.
No, we had it in a kicker, so we could have easily.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, there you go.
Again, just to show you that because I have control of the screen doesn't mean I have control of the final outcome. This is what we came up with, first iteration. We'll do one more quick lineup after this before we get out of here. Cousins, Gordon, Bell, Marvin, Jeremy Maclin, Amari Cooper, Hunter Henry, Chandler Cannizzaro, and the Arizona Cardinals. Okay, let's clear this one out and start over again. I think the consensus real play for us here was obviously sticking with Melvin Gordon as our top running back. Going to go ahead and I'm going to keep the defenses in there for a while or for now. I've just not seen a big reason to kind of pivot off of those guys. So we'll leave kicker and defense the same as we had before. And
now, do we want to go up at quarterback in Cam Newton, or do we want to go down with Ahoy?
I mean, is Cam cash game playable on FanDuel? I don't think he is. I personally think it's too much to pay.
Okay, so I'm comfortable with going with Hoyer here. I'm also, you know, I was having trouble spending my money this week, so I was comfortable with going up at Cam just because not only does he have the highest floor, but he's got the highest ceiling. So just for the upside of 2 rushing touchdowns in Atlanta, but more than comfortable with seeing what Chicago did with Hoyer last week. So,
what do you think, Dean? You mentioned his name before. Are you all right with this?
That's kind of the two ways I'm toying with. Of course, that changes everything else. It's a domino effect. But I think this one should either be Hoyer or Cam.
Okay, well, let's go Hoyer here because – I think we might want to spend up a little bit in some spots potentially here.
Let's roll with Antonio Brown last lineup we went with Le'Veon.
Okay, and maybe I'll just throw DeAndre Hopkins in there as well to kind of solidify how great our wide receivers could be in this lineup. And obviously, we can make edits. So that means we're paying down on running back. Where are we looking for the cheap running back? We threw some names out earlier.
Howard.
What's that?
It's got to be Howard, right?
Yeah, there's a couple guys down here. I mean, Howard, I feel like his, you know, if you had to give me an over-under on how many touches, it would be about 15 or 16 this week. And, you know, at that price tag, you got to feel pretty comfortable with him, at least having a good shot of returning value.
Are we okay? I mean, you mentioned it before, Brett, running the same quarterback, running back, but it's definitely easier to do when you've got, you know, star players like Phillip Rivers involved. But Brian Hoyer and Jordan Howard are not big names, but they are playing this, you know, they're both in position to start here against a pretty poor defense. But are we okay with that in this situation?
I would, I would be okay with it in 50-50s, not so much heads-ups games. Detroit is one of the worst defenses in the league, and both of these position players are, you know, like, what, 10% above minimum, or not maybe 10%, 20% above minimum. So you're not spending a lot at these two. But, yeah, this would be more of a 50-50 cash game play for me, just in case they do put up, like, a 10 points for their total offense. So,
and to be fair, we had 6 targets coming out of the backfield for Howard last game, too, which is pretty solid for running backs. 4 for 47 receiving. So who knows? Maybe we can even sneak in a receiving touchdown. We'll pencil that in. That leaves us at 64-50 with a wide receiver in a tight end spot. Dean, you mentioned we kind of punted at tight end the first go around with Hunter Henry. I don't think we need to do that this time. What do you think of Jordan Reed? You think this is the week for him to finally score a touchdown? You know, he's been involved. You know, the surface numbers are fine. You know, 7 for 64, 5 for 70, 4 for 56 is okay. But without a touchdown, that's nowhere near what we need for that price. Is he just too pricey for us to use in cash, though?
Well, I'm just sort of thinking the next spot. I plugged in Reed, like you're talking about. We have 5-4 left for receiver. Who's that receiver?
For me, it would be Michael Thomas. So I'd be comfortable with a Michael Thomas at that price point.
Okay, I was just going to say, let's do the this or that. It would be Michael Thomas and Jordan Reed. So this is one option we could go with. If we don't want to pay up for Reed, Dean, I'll let you kind of go the other route. What are the other two options for us?
No, I mean, like, it's one of those deals. I know Thomas is going to get his runs no matter what. Obviously, he gets an upgrade, he gets a boost if Steen's going to be out. And, of course, Wednesday, we don't know that at this point. And we may not even know that, frankly, at kickoff because, you know, Steen could be questionable. And it's a late game. It's a 4 o'clock game, so we won't know until 2:30 on the East Coast, and we'll be guessing. But, yeah, for sure, if Steen doesn't play, I think Thomas gets a nice boost. And again, he'll probably be in the field like 60, 70% of the time, even if Steve is healthy against San Diego, which would be perfectly fine. We're expecting a shootout there. So I do agree. Thomas is a good spot. So Thomas and Reed, and you got $100 to play with. You're perfectly good. Kind of lock him in there. So
okay, well, here we go. I figured it out for us because that's what I do. Is it Marvin Jones and Dennis Pitta, or is it Jordan Reed and Michael Thomas?
Pitta's awful. I know he's best friends with Flacco or whatever, but it's not, nobody likes the Click, Dennis Pitta. That's not a fun name, the Click, is it?
Yeah, I couldn't disagree more though, because like if we're not paying up for an elite tight end, a tight end that's basically a wide receiver, right, at 7,500, I feel like you have to punt the tight end, and Pitta's been the target guy. So, I mean, he's still been the number one option in that offense. And at 5,400, where it seems like the tight end spot is just a crapshoot with where you're hoping to get a touchdown, right? When you're looking at the stone minimum guys last year, I feel like this year you can get guys that have lots of targets like Adam Pitta or, you know, a Hunter Henry at 4,500 that just played every single snap, ran all the routes. You know, I'm comfortable with those two guys also. But in this sense, I do like the Jordan Reed, Michael Thomas better. I mean, if that's where my vote is.
Dean, what do you think? Is it, is it Pitta Jones or Pitta and Reed or Jones and Pitta or Reed and Michael Thomas?
I'm conflicted because I'm still on Team Marvin Jones. I can't believe there's hate on Marvin Jones. I don't. What does this guy have to do for y'all?
Well, it's not hate. It's not hate, but I think Jordan Reed this week. I mean, what do we think Jordan Reed? I mean, he's got to get in the end zone, right? He has to.
I mean, you know, variance and all that. It's gonna happen. Crowder's not gonna be like this red zone freak the entire year. I'm not believing it. He's like 5'3". I don't believe that's a thing. But whatever.
Yeah, and if you're second guessing Jordan Reed's production, he's outsnapped what he did last year. So he's playing on more snaps, he's running more routes, and his target distribution this year is higher than what it was last year. So just, you know, hasn't gotten that red zone. Blame it what you will, but we already talked about Kirk Cousins' struggles, and I expect a nice bounce back game for Kirk Cousins, but they've been really inefficient in the red zone. kicking the most field goals in the league. So I do feel like this is a get right spot for Jordan.
Okay, well, let's make one more edit here and do it with the defense, Dean. If we wanted to pay down off of Arizona and maybe upgrade Michael Thomas a little bit, who is the – is there any punt defense that stands out to you here? Maybe New England, 4,500 at home against Buffalo?
Yeah, maybe New England. Maybe Baltimore versus Oakland.
I mean, I Cody Kessler on the road. I don't know how much you guys want to try and go after his second start again.
Terrell Pryor on the road. You're mistaken.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll say 90% or 80% of Cody Kessler with 10 to 20% of Pryor. I'm more than comfortable with rolling out going after that again. I don't know how popular it will be because, you know, Cleveland's offense looked good. But this is another situation where, if I'm going to go down at defense, I'm probably not going to look too much lower than Washington. I know, you know, Jacksonville's not on this slate, but they were at 4,000. And that was another a defense that in England against Andy's offense, but, you know, not available to us here.
That would leave us with 6,200 left. I would say this much. Let's say that Michael Floyd is out real quick, guys, running out of time. And Michael Floyd is out. Does that upgrade fits for us? Or even John Brown, who saw double-digit targets last week for pretty much the first time all season long. He was non-existent the first two games, but 11 targets, 6 for 70. Not usually a cash game play, but again, if Thomas is out, Floyd is out, we've seen him kind of be the next man up.
Right, and he was dealing with his own concussion symptoms the first 2 weeks, so don't look at it like that's his production on all of the snaps. Like, he was barely running routes. Him and Jaron Brown were kind of splitting snaps there at wide receiver 3. So he does look healthy. He got the targets last week, but Arizona threw the rock around quite a bit. So I'm comfortable with it, but it does look like Floyd is playing. I just wouldn't want to do a John Brown in the cash game.
It's a David Johnson week, by the way, for Arizona. Just, I don't want any of those. I don't like playing Arizona receiver roulette. It's all about Johnson this week for me.
Yeah, and I think you're going to get him for low ownership when it comes to GPPs. But, I guess, what do we got left here for wide receiver 3?
Yeah, there really wasn't much. Golden Tate seemed to be the other option. So we'll just finish this team off like this. Hoyer, Gordon, Howard, Brown, Hopkins, Thomas, Reed, Lambeau, Cardinals. And if you really want Marvin Jones, then you can go down to Dennis.
What did Marvin Jones do to you? Can I ask a random question, by the way? We're done with our lineup, but you said Pitta. Why didn't you say Cody Fleener? Because, since he pulled off his hair and donated to charity, Narrative Street, he's averaged 11 targets, 7 catches, 109 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, no, I think that I'm not surprised at all. I mean, he actually had good targets a couple of weeks ago against the Giants. He just didn't convert them. And we've seen Breeze his entire career make, you know, tight ends a lot of money. So I don't think it's a bad play, to be honest with you.
He couldn't have had the easiest schedule for a tight end in the first 4 games. And San Diego is also really strong at the cornerback spot. So that is another situation that I'll be looking at. Probably more so in GPPs again, because it's a great pivot off of a Pitta. It's a great pivot off of there's a lot of guys in that lower, you know, 5K range where I don't think he's still going to be highly owned because people got so burned against a Raiders and a Giants where we just thought all the passes would be funneled towards the tight end. But he looked good against Atlanta. Actually looked bad in the first half, but then decided to catch all of his balls in the second half.
Yeah, I think some of this, too, is going to depend on Willie Snead if he decides to go. I think, actually, that probably helped Fleener a lot, kind of coming from, you know, Snead usually lined up in the slot a good bit. So might have opened up some more targets towards him. So we'll have to keep our eye on that. But these are our two kind of preliminary cash game lineups here on FanDuel this week 4. Do with them what you will. Obviously, we're going to be making our own and some edits along the way. We didn't agree on everything, but I think a lot of these names we're okay with. And hopefully it cashes for us or you, and you can use this information for your own good. But fellas, that's pretty much going to wrap it up. Give me one quick bold call this weekend, Dean.
Oh, man, I was not prepared for a bold call. Pryor scores a touchdown.
Okay, and one real quick, Brett, what do we got? Bold call for you.
Bold call. Kirk Cousins, 4 touchdowns, 3 passing, one on the ground.
Ooh, get those Washington stacks this week. I don't think that's a bad idea going against Cleveland. But that's going to wrap us up for today. Again, thank you so much for watching us here on rotogrinders.com, where we've got numerous more of these builds coming up. We've got DraftKings Cash, DraftKings GPP, FanDuel GPP, and, of course, on Friday, our lineup builder show. We use our lineup builder to help build a mass multi-enter a few tournaments for you. He's Dean. He's Brett. I'm Dan. Be sure to follow us over there on Twitter at RotoGrinders, and you can certainly be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page as well to get all of our updated videos. Till next time, good luck in this week 4, and we will see you.